Hello everyone and welcome to the next edition of the True Turf Super Series, coming to you today from Mullaney Golf Club, just on the hinterland of the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia. And I'd love to introduce Mick McComb, who is the manager of course and infrastructure here at Mullaney Golf Club. So Mick, welcome along.
Thank you very much, Nick. Thanks for finally getting up here, and it's going to be a bit of a treat today. We're very close to our club champ, so everything should be in fairly good condition, and a little bit dry out there at the moment, but looking forward to having a round with you.
Yeah,
that, and showing you around.
Absolutely, looking forward to it as well. I've heard some great things about the golf course here, and we'll talk about it a bit as we go around, but you've been recognised here for the sustainability. Claude Crockford Award winner, yes, at the latest Australian Sports Turf Managers, yep, Association conference down in Sydney. So we'll touch a bit on that as well. And you've obviously had some famous people play here a couple of years ago. Adam Scott put a place on the map as well.
Adam Scott, and there's been a few other famous names that sneak through here, some footballers and whatnot. So it's a little hidden gem up here, and we really pride ourselves in our course quality, and I think people recognise that, and they seem to come back. So,
and it's a course that's been built from the ground up as well by volunteers in the early days. So we'll touch on that as well as we go around, but
absolutely,
a real volunteer mentality here at the club too.
Absolutely could not do it without them. I was the first ever employee employed by the Mullaney Golf Club 10 years ago, and it was just me and a group of volunteers, and we've grown. We now have 6 in the shed and 14 total staff. So we've come a long way, yep, in 10 years. So it's been a real journey.
Mm. Mm. Well, we're going to tackle the first hole here down the hill there today, yep, and we'll touch in.
Little par 3, about 115 metres, and that pin looks gettable today.
Well, we'll see how we go, but it's going to be great to touch on some spots around the golf course and find about a bit about Mick's journey in the golf course industry as well. So stay tuned. So, Mick, we're a couple of holes in. A great time now, I think, just to ask you how you got started in the industry.
Yeah, mate.
Was it starting at a golf course or were you some other form?
I actually started on bowling greens. Yep. So did my apprenticeship at Pine Rivers Bowls Club. Really enjoyed that time. It showed me how to really concentrate on that finer turf. And it taught me a lot about rolling. I've got a big passion for rolling. I think it's really important to getting that smooth ball roll. Obviously in bowls it's a lot different. We just, yep, roll. Mm. I remember my boss at the time saying, I want you to go and double roll that green 8 times. So I've been on a roller for a bit.
Yeah, that's right.
No, and then I've always been a really keen golfer. Got pretty handy in my younger days, and always had a passion to get onto golf courses, yeah, but the opportunities weren't that forthcoming. So eventually found a position. When I left bowls, I went over and did a little stint at a course called Coombe Hill in London. Really high-end private course. And that really inspired me and showed me what quality is all about.
Yeah, so. And it's certainly probably some different conditions to what you're used to here in Australia, and from the bowls club to that experience in London. How did that treat you?
Yeah, it was very unique. I lasted one summer.
Yep.
Because it was just too cold.
Yeah, yeah.
And I definitely got homesick and wanted to come home, and that's when I moved down and got an opportunity at Bribie Golf Club.
Yeah, nice.
On the sunny,
yep,
coast.
So. Yeah. So how long have you been here at Mullaney?
Been here 10 years, almost 11 now, yep, actually, thinking about it. Like I said earlier, first employee, mm-hmm, grown the place. We went from a shipping container shed to now having a shed full of really top quality gear. We've had a lot of second-hand gear, but we've improved all of that dramatically. So we're in a really good position for the future now, and we're just going to grow, and we're getting more members now. We've got 550 members, and you know, in my new role here, it's exciting to help drive the vision and, yep, and where we want to go as a club.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how many on the team here at Mullaney?
So we have 14 total,
yep,
6 in the shed, and it's a good little team. We all work hard, and I think we're all passionate about golf, you know, in one way or another, and it's just been a really eye-opening experience when you look at how it can all come together, putting a vision and saying this is where we want to go, how do we get there, implementing that, and now you look back and you go, wow, I've sort of expected us to take 20 years to do this, and we've done what I expected in 10 years. So it's been fantastic.
Oh, that's great. So Mick, there's been a lot of messaging in the industry about sustainability, and Obviously, the club's been recognised as well recently through you with the Claude Crockford Award.
Yep.
So tell us a bit about sustainability here at Mullaney and what it means to the club and you as a you as an agronomist as well.
Yeah, certainly. So for us, to start with, it was all about how to build a golf course cheaply and efficiently. We had a very tight budget. So that sort of led along the lines of, you know, minimalistic fertilisation. We never had a big budget, so keeping things lean and mean keeps the disease pressures down. So environmentally, that's great as well, and it helps us as superintendents. And then as we've progressed, we needed more coarse furniture and things like that. So using recycled materials, really big on that. We've used all of the old farm posts. We took down the barbed wire fences, and all the hardwood farm posts are now our 150 and 100 markers. You did just hit one of them right in the middle from about 180 out. Hit the post right dead smack in the middle.
Can't find a green, but I can find a post. But anyway, that's okay.
And leading on to that, then our seats and our all of our coarse furniture, mm-hmm. it has that timber feel and look.
Yep.
And also we were a farm, so yeah. Using that theme has been really beneficial. And then with our bunkering, we had a decision to make. The designer had designed revetted bunkers. We never knew, well, I personally didn't know how to build a revetted bunker. I know that it was sod stack upside down. But then when we saw the Eco Bunker product come out and the Dura Bunker, I think the two companies, we saw what they were doing and we found that we couldn't afford it. We didn't know how to do it, but we thought, what a great way of recycling as well. So by having all of the old tennis courts from the area, we contacted a few of the local suppliers. They would deliver us a truckload of old tennis court, and the volunteers just spent hours and hours and hours cutting up thousands and thousands of little squares of this turf. And I'll definitely point out when we get to one of the revetted bunkers. I think you can't quite see it from here, but when we get to some of the bigger ones, I'll show you. So many man hours go into that, but it's a recycled material. And it doesn't go in landfill, so
yeah.
It's really important for us. And we in Mullaney, for anyone that knows Mullaney, it's a very environmentally friendly town. So we really wanted to be good stewards of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're using recycled water from the town. That's effluent systems as well.
Of
so once again, a reuse opportunity to keep the grass alive and going.
Absolutely. We're quite lucky. We have one of the best plants in Queensland, so they tell me. The salt levels are very minuscule, so it doesn't really cause us any issues. But having that availability, they pump it past our door every night. If we use it, we use it, and if we don't, it goes into their recycled ponds over in the northern wetlands.
And also from a sustainability, you've got one of our RE50 electric rollers now out in the course, so that's adding to that sustainability profile as well.
Absolutely. I think it is the way of the future. I think technology is slowly catching up to us. We now have a fully electric utility vehicle. We have a fully electric greens mower. And that goes hand in hand. And what I love is noise complaints as well. So of a morning, we can now tow our electric roller with our electric vehicle. They don't even know we're out there.
Yep.
And we're getting the job done and we're producing great surfaces.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's great. So Mick, we've got the 10th hole in the background here, lovely vista from the top of the hill near the clubhouse. You've been in the role 6 months now, moving from superintendent role across to the
manager
of course and infrastructure.
That's it, you got it.
So have you found that transition from a superintendent into administration role?
Certainly been a unique one, but I think I'm well positioned, knowing what I know about the course. Been involved with the club for so many years and been strongly involved in the vision early on. It was quite an easy transition, I feel, to see where we'd like to go, and we've had a good sort of role. It's a unique position. So Mike is manager of golf operations and,
yep.
and looks after the pro shop and everything, and anything to do with golf. And then I look after the golf course and oversee the boys on the course, but also any major projects like the clubhouse. So,
yeah, so you've got the clubhouse project coming up, which is exciting for the club.
Very exciting. So we're getting to the final throes of having the clubhouse ready to go. We've got all of our planning and design work done. We hope to be in by middle of next year. We're just waiting on that final tick of approval from council. And then the members go to a vote. And I think we've got good support within the membership to support taking a loan out. And we're being very modest. Mm-hmm. It's a minimalistic golf course, and we think the clubhouse should reflect that.
Absolutely.
So super exciting. But then we've got a whole heap of, you know, tee improvement works. Mm-hmm. We'd like to look at upgrading the pump station. There's always work to do on the golf course.
Yeah.
We're very lucky to have a beautiful property, like you can see in the background. It's a hell of a vista, and I think we're well positioned. We have a huge amount of potential to be something really special.
Yeah. Well, you're only half an hour from some of the hotspot tourist destinations here on the Sunshine Coast, and I know there's a lot of people that come up here already for a game of golf. And with these continual improvements that you're putting in, then more people will hear about and more people will come along.
We have members driving all the way from Brisbane.
Yep.
They come up here because they get away from the hustle and bustle, and they find that slowed down pace. We're always about 4 degrees cooler than anywhere else. And it's just a really good spot to come and relax.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. As you said, the minimal clubhouse or the things you're doing around the course, they really do tie in from the fencing to everything. As I said earlier, I don't think you don't need the best clubhouse. You need a great golf course that has a nice amenity afterwards. Yeah. So if you can get away with spending a smaller amount but providing those beautiful vistas, then it's great.
I am a true believer that you could give a couple of punters an esky to sit on and a view and a great golf course, and they'll be happy as Larry. So we've really thrived on that philosophy. People come up here, they never comment on the clubhouse, even though we've got a couple of shipping containers at the moment. They never comment on that. They always say, wow, what a great golf course. And the board's been really good in driving that course development and investing in good quality golf course. And we think that's once we get the greens in good shape, which they are, people come up and they enjoy it. They really want to come back again.
Yeah. So, Mick, we're down at the 13th tee here, and one of the great features of the course, let alone the ambience and the outlook, is the native water wetlands that you've got through the course. Now, you were telling me before, though, that some of them are yours to manage and some of the council's. So the one in the background here is yours and it looks magnificent. So tell us how you manage that, I suppose, interaction with the council, but also managing the water hazards here.
Yeah, so obviously quite difficult having one wetland inside our property and the other one outside our jurisdiction. So it's been a long process of trying to work with council, understanding what their objectives are. But also utilising what we've done here, it's proof that we can manage a wetland. You know, we have our buffer zones, make sure we have minimal nutrient runoff, make sure there's no erosion issues. Realistically, the wetlands is the easy bit to look after, because, you know, once it's got the wet dry cycles of the water coming in and out, it really looks after itself. So the weed management's minimal. We do some mechanical work around the outside to keep the weeds down, and some spraying, spot spraying on the blackberries and wild raspberries and stuff. But essentially, they really look after themselves. Mm. So for us, convincing council is one of our biggest battles, I think, in the future, where we need to say, look, we have proof that we can do this. And we're getting the local Lake Baroon Catchment Care Group on side. We're showing them that if we have a wetland management plan in place, we should be able to lobby council to hopefully let us, at least maintain it. Because they're a bit light on the budget when it comes to maintaining these out of the way areas. So just lobbying them and getting them on side, and we're happy to work with them, but we need to be able to go on site.
And the benefit is that you and your team are here all the time. So you can react, or you can go in and do it. And you've got that consistency approach then across the...
And this is what we're saying. We've been saying, look, we've got volunteers and staff that are here wanting to make the place beautiful. It's a benefit to us to have the inner areas of our golf course look pretty. We're not using them to play golf, but we want it to complement our golf course. Just like all of the council plantings around the outside of the golf course, they really complement the inside because it feels like the golf course flows out into their land. But the reality is there is a hard stop there in the tree line. As you found out on
I did,
seven.
Absolutely.
But you made up for it, the birdie on the last, so we're all right. But yeah, so just managing council's been an ongoing project.
Yeah. And one of the other features we talked about before was using that old farm infrastructure, and we've got one of the examples of the tea signs here in the background. So you've made and constructed all of those around the course.
Our Greens Director has done an enormous amount of work, and he constructed all of these, and it's all recycled material. You can, like, it looks like the lichen is actually grown on there, but we transplanted that to look like that.
Yeah.
So it's been an ongoing project. We're very proud of our minimalistic signs. We have a lot of people come in and say, oh, where's the map of the hole and things like that. And we're really trying to go for that minimalistic approach.
Yeah.
We much prefer to give them a course booklet or something where they can see where they're going.
Yeah.
But visual pollution on the golf course, I think, is something that I've been strongly advocating for minimalistic for our signage.
Yeah, no, it looks great. So as we talked about, there's some great features out in this golf course here at Mullaney. And Mick, you've got, we just come from a double green, which is a great feature on the golf course.
Throwback to links.
Absolutely. And then you've also got these areas of longer grass, a bit hard to see in the background here, but some longer grass between the fairways. Which really defines, but adds those natural hazards, I suppose, for the better players too.
Absolutely. This golf course is a short golf course. It's been designed with the strength in the greens, but initially when the designer was walking the course, he realised that he could really hit it. We don't want to go with the tree lined. We wanted to stay with that linksy feel, but we needed some teeth. So having strategically placed long grass, systematically went through the whole course, and as you play each golf hole, there's a wider section, and then that moves into the further you hit it, the narrower it gets. So risk and reward, but also added bonus is we have that sustainability of not having to mow and not the high turf manicured areas. So we give them a slash two or three times a year to keep the weeds down, but it's just a real feature of the golf course. I think if you turn around, you can see some of those, you know, those longer grass areas in the far distance, they really define each hole.
Yep.
Otherwise, it really would look like a bit of a football oval, I guess.
Yeah. And what sort of grass you got here on the course, on the greens?
So we have predominantly, Tifdorf greens, but and predominantly Kaikouya fairways.
Yep.
So we do have a lot of blue couch creeping in through the fairway areas, as I've noticed over the years. We mow them short, so the blue couch likes that. But we certainly have our fair share of weeds that we're trying to manage as well. But the Kaikouya, I love it. It stripes up really well. It's a good solid turf. It's very hardy.
Yep.
And it really handles the divots and everything. Yeah.
With the Kaikouya, I know some courses, especially Sydney, use a lot of Primo to keep it growing laterally, the sort of thing you do here as well.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Primo, we'll start right now coming out of spring, and we will just keep the fairways nice and tight. We're mowing them at 10 mils, so nice tight surface, and they, like I said, they stripe up really, really well. But Primo is your friend on the Kaikouya for sure.
Yeah. Yep. So once again, we were talking about the course furniture and the natural feel, and another great feature here, the gate and fence out in the course.
Yeah, so what we've done here is we've actually gone out to west of Jandowie. And there was one of our members' daughter had a farm.
Yeah.
We went and took all of their fence posts and their hardwood timber, and we've reinstalled it. And just a simple thing like this can add so much character to the course. A lot of people think that it's always been here and it was part of the farm.
Yeah.
And that's the feel that we were going for. But essentially, we got a lot more. We got a big stockpile down there. And over the years, we're going to get the volunteers to remanufacture the fences. I think it's a great feature.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've touched on those volunteers you've got here. It's a great resource that you've got, and an engaged community, I suppose, that are wanting to do the things for the golf course.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, right from day one, I had volunteers on mowers, and we have a volunteer team every Monday and Friday. But still now, to this day, we have volunteers mowing fairways and roughs. So it's just invaluable to have them out there, and we can focus on the finer details. Yeah. So it's really important. And for the first 6 years that we operated here, our greens director volunteered mowing greens 6 days a week. So
That's great, because some of the times the greens directors don't get, well, they get on the course but see it through different eyes, I suppose. So
yes.
To have someone that's cutting or part of the team,
well,
really assists in that communication between committee and course.
I often say to Rob that I think I could sign him off on an apprenticeship now, because, and he knows the course that well, that and our maintenance practices, that he can go to the board meetings and he relates that, and he knows he's physically out there with us, so it's really important.
I suppose it's helped you as well, and we just touched talking before in the car as we were driving along about the equipment that you've got in the shed for a small club, heavily volunteered, but you're reeling off the machines you got. I suppose that relationship then with the greens or course director helps you then look at the capital that products or machinery that you need.
We've worked really hard to develop that, because we've been started off small with secondhand equipment, but now we've got a shed that we can be really proud of. A lot of amazing equipment in there, as well as the roller.
We now
have two rollers. We've got the electric and the petrol, and they both have their own unique differences when we're out using them. Sometimes we want the lighter roller with the petrol, and then the heavier one with the electric, or noise complaints. But it's super important to have good equipment, and having our greens director, he always complains because he reckons every board meeting he's going in asking for more equipment.
Yeah.
I said, well, that's your job, you know. So getting this course great, and we need the equipment to do that.
Yeah. Mick, we were just talking about before the machinery. We've made our way up to your shed, which looks great. As I said, for a small club, you've got a great array of machines in here.
Yeah, we've got about roughly $1.5 million worth of investment in here. Obviously, all red stuff predominantly, and I think the True Turf red ties in nicely with that.
Absolutely.
So as you can see in the just there, we got the RE50, and we love it. We absolutely love it. The lithium batteries have been a game changer for us. We were struggling on our hills, and a lot of our greens have some severe slopes.
Yep.
We did admittedly have a secondhand roller of yours previously with the older batteries. But now the lithiums, no problems. So
certainly now the 8-year warranty on the batteries as well, that really gives you peace of mind moving forward as well.
So, and to be honest, when we bought this secondhand one, there was really nothing wrong with it. It was just a progression. You know, we got to the stage where we need to keep improving and keep getting better, and it was time. You know, I'd been talking to you for a long time.
Absolutely,
I promise I'll buy one next year. I promise I'll buy one next year. And the time's finally come. So it's really, like I said before, it's really important for us to have really good equipment. And there's no downtime. We've got a part-time mechanic, part-time on the course grounds. And he just services, and we keep our equipment in really good condition.
So, Nick, we were talking earlier about your greens maintenance, and how does rolling play a part for you in that?
Yeah, it's really important. I find that rolling after any time we use a vehicle that leaves tracks is super, super important for me. I think that's the biggest unknown killer for ball roll. You have a ball just sort of do something a little bit funny on the green, and you wonder, you can't see it, but I think those tire tracks have a lot to play in that. So every time we spray, every time we go out there with top dressing unit or even mowing greens, we like to run the roller in behind that. We are limited with our staff, so sometimes it means rolling the next day. But certainly with our cooler climates up here, coming into winter, we're rolling 3-4 times a week.
So you're almost dropping a mow and putting a roll in?
Oh, more than once.
Yep.
Yeah, a couple of times. Mm. So we do have to be careful, because our green speeds can get a bit silly with the undulations on our greens. So I find it really difficult. Generally what I do is, coming into winter, I'll raise, last year I got up to 6 mils, from 3 mils up to 6 mil mowing height.
Yep.
That allowed me to then roll the spike marks out, because I think it's important to prepare the surface, especially for competitions. So so having that rolling up the sleeve, because if you roll too much during winter whilst you're mowing low, it becomes unbearable.
We've certainly seen, and a guy called Paul Larson in the UK is very, whilst he's on a fescue base, but he's very much about raising height of cut and then rolling more. So it sounds like you've got that on your greens. Yeah, so you're slightly different green surface, but seeing the benefits of a raising height of cut when it's not growing as much, keeping some health in the plant.
Well, yeah, you're increasing the solar panels for your plant. You know, you've got less sunlight through winter. The sun gets a bit lower, and you know, you've got the bigger leaf on the plant, so they can keep them a bit healthier. They look better, and they're a bit more receptive to balls as well, playing spin shots in and so on and so forth. But yeah, I think it's a key aspect of what we do. And I definitely will drop mowing over rolling. And even to today, like I think this week they've rolled more than they've cut leading into the club championships. Yep. So
yeah. So part of, obviously, any part of golf course maintenance is a renovation period. So what's your renovation cycle look like up here at Mullaney?
Yeah, we had the traditional, in Australia, warm season grasses twice a year renovation practices. But what we were finding is because of our temperate climate, we're always 4 degrees cooler. So coming into winter, we were finding we weren't carrying enough grass through that winter period. So what we did is with the help of our agronomist, we've revised that, and we're going with more strategy of mini renovations. Mm-hmm. So we do 6 mini renovations in the year, and then we transfer that into the major renovation in November. But what we're finding is the members are happier. We can do a mini renovation, which is a light grooming, dusting, and some punching some holes. We can do that on a Monday, Tuesday. They're playing on a Wednesday, and they don't even know. They might see a little bit of sand on the green, but they roll true. We've done what we needed to do. It's a percentages game, you know. So if we can get a couple of percent of thatch out each month, we don't have to try and get 10% out during that renovation period. Yep. So and our greens through winter, as you can see, like we've just played out there, and they got a good density. There's plenty of grass coverage, and they're rolling true. And those areas that we all struggle with, little wet areas or dry areas or shaded areas, they've still got grass, and we're at the end of our cycle. Now we can grow some grass coming into summer.
Yeah. Mick, you know, you've also mentioned you've got a consultant that comes out here just before monthly medal, once a month. Tell us about that, getting some outside information around the health of your golf course.
Yeah, for sure. We are lucky because our consultant is actually a member of ours.
Perfect.
So, yeah, we lean on him a bit. But Paul Spence from Greenway Turf Solutions, he's been in the foot in the door since day one. Mm. He helped select the Tifdorf grass variety. He helped select the amendments that went into the soil profile. And then from that stage, he's always sort of been in and around. Yep. Whenever he's always at the end of the phone if I need him. But since he's moved up to Mullaney, become a member, he's been popping in generally on the day before monthly medal, and running the G3 ball, I think it's
GS3.
Called. GS3 ball, running that over the greens. And the data that we're seeing coming back, yeah, it really helps us make informed decisions. Mm. I think it's I've never really nailed it in terms of the data coming back, and I think that's because he's coming in late afternoon, and the greens are a little bit fluffier and whatnot. I'd love to get him out early morning, just after a roll, cutting a roll, and see what the difference is. But certainly moving forward, it's giving us a benchmark to work off.
Correct.
That we can say, okay, this is what we run at on any given monthly medal day. How do we then increase that performance going into our major events?
I think that benchmarking data is really important. We see a number of our customers, as you've got John Riley, Longboat Key Club, who uses the GS3 religiously in relation to looking at his firmness numbers, smooth and true, and all those sort of things. And I think the benchmarking allows you then to think, right, what can we do to raise or lower or create a specific outcome for the golf course?
Yeah, that's right. It's a world we live in. Like in the old days, we just take a putter out on the green, and being a golfer, you sort of try your best to judge that. But it's subjective. And I think the data is super important to just make it, solidify it within your own mind that this is, I am on the right track. And it's not just my putting that's bad or something like that.
But it also gives the committee that validation as well. They can start to see the numbers coming through. And if you invest here or do this, then the numbers change and speak better for what you're doing.
Correct. Mm. Yeah. I think relaying that back to the board is always a battle. Mm. you normally have a group of volunteers that are on that board, and they're taking your expert advice, but it certainly helps if you can back it up with data. That also includes the soil moisture.
Yep.
You know, we run the TDR, mm-hmm. and it's been phenomenal in helping us gauge when to water, how much yep. to water, and make sure we're not overwatering as well.
Yeah, well, I think Dr. Tom Nicolai always says, what do you need? What are the three things you need? You need a TDR, you need a stimp meter, which yep. is like the GS3 now as well,
yep.
and you need a roller. And then, yep. you know, you've got your basics covered there yep. in relation to how you can maintain the golf course.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly
right. Well, Mick, it's been wonderful to come and see Mullaney Golf Club today. I've had a great time out. If anybody's up in this neighbourhood, it's probably an hour and a half from Brisbane, if we yep. call it that, to the north side of Brisbane. You'll be treated to a beautiful golf course and also be able to see Mick and have a chat about golf here on the Sunshine yep. Coast. So
come on up.
Yeah, Mick.
Everyone's welcome.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's
mate.
Great. Good Cheers. On you.